The number one thing I learned, and this is probably 20 years ago, I probably learned how to say no. I've always been a people pleaser, bend over backwards for everybody. And once I learned how to say no, that changed our business.
What do you mean by saying no?
Well, we're a shingle company. We do light commercial. When the huge job comes in for 300 squares of flat roofing on a Walmart, it looks awesome. We would love to do it, but are we that company? No, we're not that company. We need to say no to that kind of job. We stay in our lane. That's a big thing that we really talk about at all our meetings, sales meetings, office meetings, new hire meetings. That's our motto in the office, stay in our lane.
Have you ever felt like there's a secret club of successful contractors and you're left outside? Want in? Well, you just found the entry door. Welcome to the Wealthy Contractor Podcast. Each episode, we pull back the curtain, revealing the stories, strategies, and secrets that top leaders use to grow their home improvement business and enjoy more success, more wealth, and more freedom. Discover more at thewealthycontractor.com. Now let's get into today's episode.
All right, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Wealthy Contractor Podcast. And with me today is David Barnett from Barnett Roofing out of Knoxville, Tennessee. How are you doing?
Good, doing very well. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. So David is in our Success Society, has a great story, great business. And so I thought it would be fun to have a conversation with him and find out about his business, what he's learned along the way, and what he's up to. So give everybody the backstory of Barnett Roofing.
So I've been in business here in Knoxville for about 22 years, I believe it is now. We're a full service roofing company specializing in shingles. And we do light commercial, period. We started in this business in the Knoxville area with GAF. It's been a very big partner for us. We're what's called the master elite. I got into the business back in the mid 80s during high school, needed some work, just needed some money doing roofs, other construction, but roofs always was my favorite thing. Did a little bit of college, didn't like it too well, got back into the roofing business. Had some businesses in Atlanta after we moved from New York. And then 22 years ago, we moved to Knoxville and then got serious about the roofing industry and joined up with GAF. And the last 10, 12 years have been a very, very successful bunch of years. Once I got really dialed into the company and dialed into the important things, running a business and maturing enough, I guess you'd say. So I was mature enough to run a business the proper way. And other than that, it's been a fantastic ride.
What are the important, what are those important things that you learned?
Well, two things I tell new hires and different people when I speak with them. The number one thing I learned, and this is probably 20 years ago, I probably learned, the biggest thing I learned is the word no, learning how to say no. I've always been a people pleaser, bend over backwards for everybody. And once I learned how to say no, that changed our business.
What do you mean by saying no?
Well, we're a shingle company. We do light commercial. When the huge job comes in for 300 squares of flat roofing on a Walmart, it looks awesome. We would love to do it, make a ton of money. But are we that company? No, we're not that company. We need to say no to that kind of job. We pass on those things. If we have a major slate type job, that's not us. We are a niche business. We stay in our lane. That's a big thing that we really talk about at all our meetings, sales meetings, office meetings, new hire meetings, is that's our motto in the office, stay in our lane. And I'm just as bad as everybody else in the company about getting off sometimes. Hey, let's start doing gutters. Let's start doing siding. Let's do windows. And then we all have a big meeting about it. And we always come back to the same conclusion, to stay in our lane. But saying no is really changed the company. It changed my mindset too, because when you can say no and just you're done, then you don't have to worry about it. But when you say, yes, I'm going to, you know, then you start thinking about how you're going to do it. You know, you end up losing money or time, sleep, ambition, because it beats you down. So learn to say no is what I tell the younger guys. You don't need to hit the home run every time. You don't need to be doing million-dollar jobs every time. Learn how to do every job profitable, and you're going to be doing much better than those huge monster jobs.
Well, there's a lot to be said. You know, saying no is also, there's, you know, another way you could say that is you focused. You know what your business is. You know what you are capable of. You know what you can make money on. And so you stay focused on that. And there's a lot to be said. You know, I was that guy that wanted to say yes to everything until about 10 years ago. And about 10 years ago, I learned how to say no. And it's not easy at first, is it?
No, very hard.
It's hard to turn away that Walmart job, as you gave as an example. You know, I'm going to make a ton of money. Mm-hmm. But we also know from you know, age and experience and wisdom that something somewhere else is going to break. And whatever we might have made on that job is going to get sucked up somewhere else. And more than likely, it's going to throw us off of our game. And it's short-term gain, but long-term pain. And the more we can get clear, I think, on who we are and what we do and stay focused on that, the better the business that you build. So that's a great one. What was the second one?
Staying in your lane. That's a huge one for us. And should have that tattooed on my forehead because we talk about it every day in our business, stay in our lane. You know, you get customers that want you to do all sorts of stuff. Well, we're really, really, really good at shingle work and other smaller commercial type jobs. Churches, we do a ton of churches. We love them. That's our niche business. We're really, really bad about painting your dog's house out in the back, the doghouse. We're really bad about coming back and pressure washing your house. You don't want us to do a bunch of woodwork. We're not carpenters. We're roofing guys. Can we do some of that stuff? We can do it, but we're not going to do it well. We're going to do it really lousy, and you're going to be mad at us. So if we stay with the exact same formula every single day, when we do 3 to 4 roofs every single day, we don't change products. Every product's the same. The drip edge is the same. The ice and water shield's the same. The shingle's the same, different colors, but it's all the same package every day. It's easier for the salesman to sell, very easy for the salesman to sell that way. There's no good, better, and best program at Barnett. We just don't do that because our customers expect the best. So we're not going to give them the good, better. We're just going to give them the best. And I was just out today meeting with a bunch of HOA members and on a $400,000 roof job for their HOA. And that's what they wanted. They didn't want to go through all the games of the good, better, and best, or this, we're going to try this. We're looking at, you know, designers, all these other companies are telling them. They just wanted it straightforward. And that's what we try to stay in our lane. We don't get out of our lane. We're not doing jobs over 3 stories. We're not doing commercial buildings. It works very, very well for the whole company.
What else did you learn along the way?
Well, it took me a long time, just like I'm sure it's taken you. You got to get out of your way sometimes. And that was a hard thing for me. I'm a super micromanager. I micromanage my own life down to the second. I manage everybody around me's life. It's one, I finally hired some people to come into the company. It was majorly transforming for the company. I was able to take the company with a 2 foremen. I did all the sales. This is pre-COVID. I was able to get up to 4 million. Then I said, I'm burned out. So I brought in, God sent us these 2 sales guys, and they were amazing. They're still with me now. And the next year we were able to jump to 8 million with 2 guys selling. So once I just gave him the keys to the shop and I said, just go with it. This is your business. You guys are 10% commission guys. Just go with it. Just sell clean. Don't lie to a customer. And do it the way we do it here at Barnett. It's made a tremendous difference. Then I was able to bring in other layers. You know, now we've got 2 office managers that run everything. We've got a phone person that answers probably 80% of all our phones from her home. And then we have a backup system, another backup phone call company out in Seattle that catches the rest of them. We do answer every phone call live. We're big into the calling, touching the people right away. But when I started hiring different people for different positions, totally changed everything. I realized I couldn't do everything. I thought I could. I thought I was God and got to roofing, I guess. Thought I could do everything. Realized pretty darn quick when you get to a certain level in business, you got to start letting other people do what they do best.
Yeah.
Hire smarter people than you, like everybody says. And that's what I do. I am not a tech person, but most of the people that work for me are very good at tech. So I don't even know how to use our CRM system, but they use it. And it's changed our business. We went from an $8 million company 2 years ago to a $12 million company last year just by implementing that CRM system and the technology now. And it's transformed the company. I still don't know how to use it, though. But yeah. I can get in there if I have to. Somebody can show me, just like our QuickBooks. That's why I have accountants that I pay a lot of money to every month. And I meet with them every single Tuesday morning now. And we go over the books every Tuesday. But I'd rather hire somebody to teach me that stuff. It works really well.
You and I have talked a lot about mindset and some of the things that you've had to, I guess, kind of overcome and change your thinking on and your belief systems on. You know how I, what I think. I think it's like 80, 90% mindset and it's 10% skill set-ish, you know, 10 to 20, somewhere in there. You know, we talk a lot about what you do, but also who you have to become, you know, in order for you to go from a few million bucks in revenue to over 12 million. And then this year, you're going to do probably more than that, right?
15. We're on track 15. For 15. Yeah.
So what are some of the things that had to change and how did you do that?
Well, that's a long road. I grew up not believing very much in my abilities, I guess. I was not a good student. I was not a good employee. That's why I make a good self-employed person, because I was a terrible employee. Not a good student, couldn't have care about, you know, but I was always told, hey, you know, you're not college material, you know, you're construction guy material. So I went with that, but I knew nothing about getting out of my own headspace. You know, a lot of negative stuff in your head that people put into it when you're young. One rule I made years ago, I can't remember, it's been 20 plus years ago, that I every time I would negatively say something to myself, like, that was stupid, I stopped that and say, no, it wasn't stupid. I'll learn from that, but it wasn't stupid. But when you tell yourself every day, 5 times, 10 times a day, that was stupid, or you did this wrong. If you just change that and tell yourself, no, it wasn't wrong, you just didn't do it right, you need to learn from it, start slowly to change your mindset. And then you realize there's other people out there that have championed this before you that you didn't even know, especially Napoleon Hill. I'm sure everybody in the world should read Think and Grow Rich as their first book at 18. And if you don't read it every year, you know, you're missing out. And when you start realizing that it's all in there, you just have to get over that negativity that you have. You can pretty much do anything you want. And the last 20 years have been extremely rough for me with business and trying to run a business, basically raising two kids myself. I had my wife who just passed now, had some issues. So I was pretty much running a business 18 to 20 hours a day and the family and everything. But with the mindset, proper mindset, it doesn't matter. You can still do it. You can handle all those balls that you're juggling, but you got to have the right mindset.
Yeah.
And just really, really start reading those types of books, the mindset books, the Anthony Robbins, you know, even going to Anthony Robbins or Norman Vincent Peale. Those are the guys that knew everything before we, you know, were even alive yet. So there it's out there. You know, we live in America and we're told you can be anything you want. So put that in your head. You can do anything you want. Did I fail a lot? Heck yeah. I mean, I've had another business at one time, probably before the Great Recession. I bought a factory, which was the stupidest thing I ever could do. Talking about getting out of your lane, it was a metal manufacturing company. Well, I bought it because it was showing good numbers, but it was the stupidest thing in the world because I knew nothing about manufacturing, shipping, all the stuff that has nothing to do with roofing. I didn't know. But of course, I thought I was smart enough to do it. Well, I wasn't. I realized I wasn't. So that something where in your mindset, you realize what you're really good at, just stay in that lane and just do it and multiply it and keep doing it right and over again. And it works extremely, extremely well. Mindset is everything. And I teach that to my kids. My daughter now is an Air Force pilot. You know, she came from a really rough background with other stuff in our family. My son's had, you know, a rough time, but his mindset's, he's going to be a millionaire, multimillionaire too someday, just because he's got the right mindset. It doesn't matter what life throws at you, just keep punching back. I mean, look at Rocky. I mean, that's show your kids that Rocky speech from, I think it was Rocky 3, you know, you show them that, or Rocky 4, that speech.
It was actually Rocky Balboa, the one I play at Accelerate. Okay. Yeah. It's Rocky Balboa.
Yeah.
Rocky, I think that's Rocky like 6.
Okay. Is it part? It shows how old I am.
Yeah. But you know, what you said is right about the whole mindset thing, is that it's something you have to work on. And you have to work on it every day, because you are telling yourself things over and over and over and over and over again every single day.
every week, every month, every year for decades. You've been telling yourself these stories in your head. And the people that can't get ahead are the ones that won't stop and listen to hear, what is that story I'm telling myself? Like you were saying, a great example, that was stupid. You know, mm-hmm. what you're basically saying is, well, you're stupid. Well, if you keep sure. telling yourself over and over again, you're stupid, how do you get ahead in life? You can't. Mm-hmm. So you have to figure out, how am I going to turn that around? And the way you turn it around is like the example you gave. You just have to override it with something else. It's a computer program. Mindset is a computer program. And you don't have to go with the one that you what you got. You can overwrite the one that you have. It's not an easy thing. It's not like I can pop one disc out and pop another one in. This is work. It's like I say it all the time. It's like building a muscle. You want mm-hmm. great biceps, let's say. You don't go to the gym for 20 minutes one day, do curls, and now all of a sudden, okay, now I got a bicep. No, you got to be in there every single day. You got to have a dedication. You got to have focus. You got to be committed. You got to tell yourself, I can do this. And then you got to have a really strong reason why you want to do it. Well, why do I want to have biceps?
Mm-hmm.
the guy, you know, I've told you guys about the X3 bands that I use.
Mm-hmm.
His whole thing with the only reason he's got bicep curls in there, he said curls is for girls. So it's basically like, so you look good. And that's why he included mm-hmm. it in there. But I guess he doesn't really believe in it. Anyway. So yeah. So mindset, you brought up Think and Grow Rich. You know, I love what you said. Read it every year. It's a book. That's a book to be studied, mm-hmm. not to be read. It's to be studied. And there's so many others out there. Like you said, most of these people died before we were even born. A lot of these people, and they figured some stuff out. Why try and reinvent the wheel? Why don't we go and learn from these guys?
Yeah, the wheel's already been invented. Use the wheel, tweak it to your advantage, learn from others, and read. Back when I was growing up, you know, we didn't have computers and stuff, so you had to go to the library, things like that. And then we had the books on tape, which was an amazing thing to do when you're driving around. You could actually listen to Tony Robbins or some of the other great ones. And it was fantastic. And you learn from those guys. Zig Ziglar, there's another great one. I had his tapes. It all comes down to, if you look at what they're talking about, was mindset. And they got that from Napoleon Hill. They all got it and just tweaked it their way. I have some people in my life that I take care of through different ways. And it's amazing to watch them once they learn this mindset program and change in their mind. It's transformed their lives. There's a woman that I've been helping for about 3-4 years now, probably, who was a heroin dealer, heroin addict, a prostitute, prison many, many times, rehab dozens of times. I got to know her through some things. And 3-4 years later, you know, we talk pretty much every day, but she learned the mindset baby steps. Mm-hmm. And now she's got good credit. She's got her own car. She's got her own apartment. She's got a full-time great job. She's got plans to do the next thing. And now she's talking, you know, someday she's going to own the apartments that she lives in. You know, she knows she can do it. It doesn't matter what your background is, what your skin color is, what religion you are. This is America. You can do anything you want if you put your mind to it, like they always told us. So it is always in your mind. It's your mindset. That's one thing we do at our company. We hire the guys or the women that are somewhat unhirable sometimes. We had a guy this week that we hired. You know, he came off the street. You know, he doesn't look great. You know what I mean? But boy, the mindset in him that he knows he's the perfect fit for us. I said, why would you come to us? We're the biggest company in town. Why would you think you could just walk in here and get a job? He goes, because I'm the best and I know that I will be able to meet your standards. And I'm like, okay, we have in our company, we're a little bit different. I don't just do the interview. We have a whole bunch of people do the interview. We had some of the repair people, some of the office managers there at the meeting, project manager, and actually one 17-year-old kid that we just hired last month, who we're going to use for our next generations that we can talk about later, generational growth in our company. It was pretty interesting to watch a 17-year-old kid interview a 43-year-old guy about roofing and why he thinks he's a good fit for our company. But we try to hire for those people that have that attitude, that have been working for those companies that have been just treating them like crap. But their mindset, when you sit down with them, you can tell that they know, we know about mindset, and they know about good mindset. And, you know, it works out pretty well. Those are the kinds of guys we hire. We've been very, very successful with guys and girls like that.
This episode is brought to you by the Profit Workshop 2024. If you're sick and tired of working your tail off and just not making the profits you deserve, you're not alone. The truth is, low and inconsistent profitability is the dirty little secret of the home improvement industry. Let's face it, none of us were really taught how to make money in this business, let alone how to use our business to get rich. But there is a formula and a framework to do it. That's why 3 years ago, I teamed up with Mark Curry from Revelair Home to create the Profit Workshop, a one-of-a-kind two-day event where home improvement business owners transform their relationship with money and wealth by getting a deep understanding of the unique mechanics of profitability in our business. In today's uncertain economic environment, every dollar counts. If you're ready to set up your home improvement business to be permanently profitable once and for all and deposit more cash into your wealth account month after month, year after year, then this will be the most important invitation you get all year. The Profit Workshop is happening this September 10th and 11th. There, you'll discover step-by-step exactly what you need to do to achieve a 15 to 20% net profit so you can use that profit to grow your business and your personal wealth. Seating is limited, and just like past workshops, we do expect this year's to sell out quickly. So don't delay. Go to thewealthycontractor.com/profit. Again, thewealthycontractor.com/profit. In an effort to make this workshop more affordable to more contractors, this year we've slashed your investment in half. To get the best price, use discount code PODCAST24. That's PODCAST24. By the way, you have nothing to lose with our 300% better than risk-free guarantee. So don't wait. Secure your spot today. You have nothing to lose and more money and wealth to gain.
I like the idea of like everybody being involved in the interview process. Is there a standard kind of list of questions that everybody's asking, or they just have a conversation?
There should be. What we are the anti-standard business, and we've talked about that before.
Oh, yeah.
I was always called a maverick when I was young, and for you younger guys, look up what a maverick is in business or in sales. I was a maverick. I wanted to do it my way. That's why I didn't work very well for the company. We did the interviews by myself. It's just me one-on-one, and you learn a lot about that person. But man, when you have 7-8 people sitting around that table, and that guy feels like he's already part of your company in a way, or that girl feels like they're already part of something, and they start really opening up. And we've been doing it probably for this last year. We've been doing these open interviews, and we've found some extremely, extremely good people that way. We're really proud of that because I don't know everything to ask. Yeah. You know, did you ever go to jail? You know, there's so many questions you can't ask, but when you get a bunch of other people asking, so, you know, what did you like about working on that one roof that you told us about? What was the main reason? Did you use this? And this guy's over there talking technical stuff that I don't even know what they're talking about sometimes. It's pretty interesting. It's very interesting. We've been on a hiring spree. And I think I told you last year, we were not going to hire anybody. No more trucks this year. We're going to stay where we were. Well, we've had a huge increase in business again this year. We've seen it. We've already hired 5 people this year.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, we weren't planning on that
all through this process. They all go through the same process, this interview. Yeah. What does that look? I'm just curious. What does it look like? We're all sitting around a table and this person is just getting pelted with questions, huh?
We're having him ask us as many questions.
Yeah.
Then we're asking him. We want to make sure he feels like he's going to be able to work with each one of these people.
Very smart. It's very smart. I like it.
He's not going to be working for me. I mean, he's going to be working for me, but he's never going to see me. I don't go in the field that often. I'm doing insurance meetings, or I'm meeting with this banker, and I'm planning this next thing that we're doing. He's going to be working with the project manager. He's going to be on the phone dealing with the girls at the office all day. He's going to be talking to the repair tech about what do we do on this. So why wouldn't you get everybody involved in it to make sure it's a good mesh for everybody? You know, yeah, me and him might get along, but can he get along with everybody else? And it's funny because we're sitting there Friday and we're interviewing this guy, and you know, he didn't just come off the street. We knew who he was coming in, that we had an interview with him. So I told everybody, I saw, you know, come whoever was free, 2:00, come on over, and we're going to have an open meeting. open interview. It was very, very interesting to see how fast he jumped in. He was a little skittish at first because he was like, hey, I'm being interviewed by six people.
Yeah.
But after about 10, 15 minutes, yeah, he was just like, man, I'm one of you guys. I can hang with one of you guys because I can talk the talk. And we're really probably, when you put five people together, six people, seven people together, you can really learn how to smell the BS. You know, maybe I'm good. You can probably BS me very, very well. You know, I've been in sales my whole life, pretty much. So you can BS the salesman easily.
Oh, God. Yeah, we love it. We love to be sold, don't we? We exactly. love to be sold.
But you get the other guys in there. It's amazing.
So what happened? So you guys do the interview and then you ask the person to get up and go, and then you discuss it.
So that was the amazing thing. So thanks for getting me back on track. So we're sitting there, we're having all this conversation for about an hour. And then I just looked over the product manager, Aaron, and I said, what do you think? You know, I whispered to him, he gave me the head shake. I said, Brad, you're on board. Are you interested in coming on board? And he's like, absolutely. So we just did it right in front of him. We could tell right away he was our level. He was honest about everything. Hey, yeah, I like to drink when I go home. I have a couple of beers. I like to drink on the weekend. I like to go out and shoot my guns, my back porch, and have a couple of beers. That's fine. As long as you're not, you know, as long as there's a couple of things we would have noticed, there's things, telltale signs everybody gives. But we just hired him right there on the spot. We did that twice in the last couple of weeks, right on the spot. We're very, very lucky. We're seeing some changes in the business, and especially the roofing business. So we're seeing a lot of our competitors going under or closing. Not sure what's going on. I don't know if it's nationwide or not. So we're getting the best of the best are calling us.
I think I know what's going on. The COVID boom is wearing off. Leads are getting harder to find, and people that were either not in business before COVID and didn't understand that this business is a grind every day. It's not people, you know, what happened from mid 2020 until the end of 2022 or beginning of 2023, that was not normal. Nothing normal about that at all. We'd never seen anything. I mean, you've been in business since the 80s. Had you ever seen anything like that before? Never. And so I think what's happening is people that don't have the fundamentals in place, that don't, you know, that don't understand, hey, wait a minute, this is a lead generation business. I got to go and make leads every day. Otherwise, we're not going to eat. And, you know, compound that with, well, people were buying, like just buying. You know, you could almost just show up and just make a decent pitch and people were going to buy. Well, the real world doesn't work like that. You know, this has, you know, home improvements need to be sold. You need to sell at the right price so you can get the right margin, so you can pay for all of the people and the marketing and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, you know, all of this stuff, but I think that's what's going on. I think it's sad because I think we're going to see a lot of that. I think we're going to see a lot of companies going under in the next couple of years. But guys like you, you know, and other members that are in our Success Society and the other, you know, friends I have in the industry that understand what it is to build a business, you guys are going to benefit from that because somebody's got to pick up the slack. You know, that business has to go somewhere. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. The next couple of years, I think, is going to be very, very interesting in the industry.
Well, we've been preparing for that for a few years now, because I've been through the ups and downs. So, you know, we're a roofing company. And getting back to one thing that we talked earlier about is what makes us kind of successful where we're at is took me a long time to learn this. But once I learned this, this also helped change the business. We're not a roofing company. It says we're a roofing company on our name, but really we're a sales organization that happens to sell roofing.
Yeah.
So once I learned that, and I don't know who told me that, it could have been some, you know, something I was listening or read a book or somebody at one of your meetings told me that years ago. Oh, probably it was you, but maybe it was back in 17. Whoever told me that, and it probably was.
It's also in this book right here, the Seven Secrets book. It's secret number four.
That's probably where I heard it. But you know what? That was like a huge, you know, yeah, light bulb. But this was like a fluorescent light going off in my head. I dwelled on that. I think it was the one of the first or the second year when I heard that from you. It was in Hollywood at the Accelerate, but I dwelled on that for months. And once I kind of really sunk in, and I'm like, yeah, we're a sales company. And that's when I had. Then it's when I started thinking about bringing the teams in and the different people and giving up some of that. And we are a sales machine. We are very blessed with the leads we get in. We get in very, very high quality leads and tons of referrals and repeat customers. So we're very lucky on that part too.
Yeah. Well, I don't like the word luck. I think that you know, it's not quite luck. You're being humble and you're being nice, but it's a lot of flipping work goes into creating luck, what looks like luck to other people. The interesting thing, though, is what you're kind of going through now is you are going from a sales and marketing company into more of a people development company. And once you get, I think it's about that somewhere between $8 and $12 million. The only way you get there is by having a good foundation of sales and marketing. In order then to go from 10 million to 20 or beyond that, you really have to become a people development company. And I think as the more you're talking, the more the focus, it's interesting, right? Your focus is more on the people that are coming in and what you're doing to attract good people and how you're keeping them and the culture and getting your other people involved. It's really interesting how that shift happens. And so, yeah, you're going into a very, very cool time in your business. I'm going to kind of wrap. I'm looking at the clock here. I'm going to wrap with one of the questions we ask, you know, within Success Society, we do exercises. Mm-hmm. And one of the questions that we ask is, you know, what are you most excited about? And so unfortunately, you weren't there a couple of weeks ago. So I'll ask you now, I mean, kind of like, what are you sitting there right now? What are you most excited about?
The most exciting thing I think going on with the company right now is the generational thing that we're getting into.
Oh, yeah.
It's very, very cool that what's happening. Our business, we're not a standard business. You know, you and I have talked about it. You've yelled at me about stuff. Yeah, we do things totally different than everybody else. But for us, it works. You shame.
I don't shame. Remember, it's tough love. It right. only comes from a place of love and respect, but yes, go on.
So the generational thing is what we're really looking at. I'm 56. I mean, how many years do I really have left in me? Can I go out and sell? I love selling, but I'm not allowed to sell anymore. I give it away for too cheap, too nice, but I love to sell, but I can't do that. I'm running the business day to day. I've got, you know, we've got five of us in the company that are 53 to 59 right now. And those five will be pretty much retiring, aging out in the next 5 to 10 years, everybody's saying. The people that are in that age, they're all workhorses. They don't want to go home and sit. I mean, they're like, hey, we've got at least 5 to 10 years left. And they are hard selling guys. They know how to sell. We're not a pushy company whatsoever, but they know how to go out there and run 5 to 10 leads a day. And you know how hard that is. It's tiring.
By the way, for those of you listening, it works for him. That does not mean it'll work for anybody else. I almost wish you didn't say that. I almost want to edit that out. I'm not going to, but anyway, go on. That's one of the things him and I have had discussions about, you know, loving discussions about. But go on. So the generational thing, I love where you're going with this, though.
So we've built up the second generation from the ages of 34, I believe it is, up to 44. We've got a whole group, I think it's six, of management, foreman type people that are in that group. So when we age out in the next 3 to 5, 10 years, this group's already been with us, entrenched. They learned the culture. They learned everything we do. They're going to be able to just take it right over. Now we start building up the third generation now coming in. We've got the youngest from 17. And then my son, eventually he'll come on. He's 17 also. He'll come into the business eventually up to, I think, 31 is the, so we got that third generation of 17 to 31. And those people are going to take it, you know, in 10, 15, 20 years, they'll take over. That's the plan for the company. We're not planning on selling out. We're not planning on changing the structure of that business. I want them, when we hire people, we tell them they got a lifelong job. This is not just, you know, somewhere to go every day. This is someplace you can stay with and grow, and you can bring your family, and you can have, we have three people in our company right now having babies.
Wow.
And which is huge. So those kids maybe will come on board, but we're really into, it's amazing to see these people that they come in, these generational people who were, you know, say 35 years old, working at a pizza place as a manager, for example. You know, he was so loyal to this company, he wouldn't leave, and he comes to us. Now he's just thriving, and he's making three times as much money as he ever made. And now his wife was able to have a baby because they could do that stuff. Those are the people, when you change someone's life, they're not scared every day they go home and look at the mail because they got those past due bills. You and I both know how that is.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we've been through some rough patches if you've been in business this long. 08, 09, 10. I mean, that was scary, scary times. But my job is with my people is to make sure that they never have to worry about going home and their wife or their husband is mad because there's not enough money to pay the bills. If there is a problem, and I ask them every time I see every one of them, if you have a problem with money when it comes to the end of the day, you call me and we will figure this out today. We're not going to wait. We're not going to talk about a raise. We're going to figure it out right now.
Yeah.
Because if I have people, I don't care what I pay them. If I have people that are paid extremely well for a foreman making over $100,000, that's a very good foreman with a brand new truck, gas card, Blue Cross Blue Shield, Vision, 401, we're implementing all that kind of stuff. Their wives don't have to work. They can have more kids if they want. They can have a nice life and they don't have to worry about their bills.
They can buy a house. Eventually
huge
pay it off.
Yeah. When they're not stressed, this is a huge thing. And if you guys listen, this will change some of your way. Because I know other people who are revolving door with salespeople and revolving door with people. I don't like that. It costs me too much money to train. When you make those guys so comfortable with money that when they go home, there's no problems and everything's nice at home and they're not arguing about money, which we all know that's what happens. They want to do better for you. They want the company to succeed more and they want the customers to have a great experience. The biggest thing I ever learned from Brian, back in, I believe it was 17, and I'll never forget where I was sitting in that theater, about the reviews coming up. Well, it took me a year to get the first 25 reviews. Well, now we're at 1,035 as of this morning. That's because my guys are out there they're a machine. I got one guy, our second newest hire, a repair guy. He got six just this week already, just himself as a repair guy.
Wow.
You know, that's an incredible thing, but they want to do it because they want the company to succeed and get bigger and bigger and bigger. They're always set. You know, I try to make it so that the people know that in 10, 15 years, 20 years, they're still going to be here and they're going to be just as much of a part of the company as we are now. We've got a good thing going. We're the brand. I always wanted to be the brand. And it took a long time to become the brand. And we could probably go on a whole nother podcast just about building up that brand.
Oh, yeah.
But that was my dream one day, to be the brand when everybody knows you. And it's kind of a neat thing. And with our other things that we do, the give backs and stuff like that, and the widow and children's fund that we have, we help people out, all that kind of stuff. You become the brand leader, but you also become the trusted leader. And if any of you know who we are, we own the trademark for the phrase Trust Matters. And that's a big thing for us. Trust matters. It's on all our trucks and everything like that. I was driving down to Florida one day and it just occurred to me about 6 years ago. And that's a huge thing. And the customers, when they see you at the coffee shop and you're getting a coffee and the old guy sitting next to you, you know, he sees everything's lettered and he goes up and he wants to shake your hand and say, thank you for you know, doing our roof and not screwing us over like everybody else screws people over. That's a hell of a feeling. And my people are very proud of that. Everybody wears their shirts logoed, their hats, their jackets. All our trucks are beautifully logoed. We don't do wraps, but we do logos. But the Trust Matters is a huge thing for us. And it's become our brand name, our brand awareness. And, you know, with everybody else trying to screw you over there, you know, at least everybody knows they can turn to us. And
yeah.
That's a big thing for us. And it makes us feel good. And, you know, and I've told Brian before, if it wasn't for Brian, I really wouldn't probably be where we are at. Because Brian going to Accelerate, going to all the other programs, the Profit Workshop and the mastermind groups, you know, I learned, like I said, the fundamentals of our business is reviews, getting those reviews. And Brian told us there's this thing called Google and it's going to be starting these reviews and you better get out there and figure out how to do it. And I went, I don't even know how to use an Android phone at that time, much less an Apple phone, but we slowly figured that out. And that, you know, it's amazing what we've done, and you've helped so much of our business like that. It's been a great experience, a great relationship, and I'm super, super happy that I kept going every year and learned more. I don't even go to the other ones anymore. I only go to Accelerate. This year, unfortunately, I had a miss. We've had family issues, but that's the ones we go to. You know, that's where I'm going to learn. And the people that you guys are attracting now are very interesting people. You're not just getting the run-of-the-mill contractors. You're getting some really interesting people. Leaders is what I'm starting to see. You're building leaders out of Accelerate and the Mastermind group. No other convention that you can go to or seminar you can go to is going to build that. So it's very, very cool. Very, very cool.
Well, I'm grateful you're a part of it. And I appreciate you being here and super excited about all that you do. I mean, we've talked about so much great stuff in this episode. I mean, mindset, we talked about leadership, we talked about the generational thing. I absolutely love, because how many people out there are complaining about, oh, we can't find good people. We can't this, we can't that. Well, look, you found someone in a pizza shop, you know, and you gave them a career path. And when you can become a lot of people, you said another thing too, is that about roofing, is that it's not just about being a roofing contractor or a roofing business. Yes, you're a sales and marketing business, but it really, listening to you and the whole trust matters thing, we know what your values are. And we know that what you're doing is you're out there providing a professional service to your community. And this is, we talk about this, I say this to people all of the time. When you finally understand that you are not just a roofer, that you are actually providing a professional service to your community. And if you do that well, you deserve to get rich, make money, whatever that means for you. For everybody, it's different. And you are living proof of that. Hey, look, if we go out, we do the right thing, we build a professional organization, and we treat our people like professionals too, you know, by getting them involved in the interviews. That's huge, by the way. I mean, that alone, I mean, we could talk about for half an hour, but I mean, it's making your people feel like they're part of something.
Yeah, they are important.
And they are. Yeah. In your case, they are. But in a lot of other organizations, they're still busy running around all day, every day, including the owner. I mean, one of the best things you did was stop selling. You said, it's funny, you said you're not allowed to go sell anymore. Well, that's how it should be. You have more important things to do. You know, you have a culture to build, you have people to build. Yeah. There's all kinds of stuff. Plus, you have a lot of extracurricular activities. You like a lot of fun stuff you like to do. Anyway, this has been great. I thank you so much for being here. All right, everybody. I hope you liked this episode. This is a good one. Lots of good stuff in there that we unpacked. David, again, thank you so much. And to everybody listening, this is Brian Kaskavalsian, and this is the Wealthy Contractor Podcast. Hope you enjoyed this week's episode. For insights on skyrocketing your home improvement business and accelerating your journey to the success, wealth, and freedom you've always dreamed about, be sure to get your free copy of my best-selling book, The 7 Secrets to Becoming a Wealthy Contractor, at www.thewealthycontractor.com. And don't forget to follow us on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss an episode. See you next time.